This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We'll get going to flip the order here. We're going to get to Joe Witt Jr. coming up in 10 minutes. We're going to start with Cliff Kingsbury and what he had to say today in our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get rolling as we are behind schedule, but we can run a hurry-up offense, if you will.
Number one.
Jaden Daniels has not only been good, he has continued to grow. And so today, Cliff Kingsbury was asked yet again what he continues to see on the growth of his quarterback and if the Ravens perhaps are the best test yet for his rookie QB.
I mean, I said it from day one, like every day is another chance for us to see where he's at. You know, that's the approach we've taken, and that's the work he's putting in every day. He gets here at the same time and grinds at it every day, and we've just talked about making those incremental improvements every day and building from that. So they have a great defense. It'll be an awesome atmosphere, and I know our guys are excited.
Definitely, and they've already seen so much growth from Jaden, and last week was an interesting one because it wasn't like he had a perfect game all the way through, just in rhythm the entire time. He had to find it a little bit, which was something a little bit new, but hey, he did it.
I like the way he battled. He hit the big play to Terry, which is an unbelievable throw, a great play by those two guys, and then we turn it over going in. But I just like the way he battled. He stayed with it, kept his poise, and made some really good decisions in the second half. His operation in the 2 minute has really been exceptional in those scenarios. So that's encouraging if we can keep building off that.
One thing that's great that Cliff has done is he's continually been able to get the first down. And so whether it's in 2 minute or just in the flow of the game, they can get into that hurry up, get into that tempo. And it's not like they're always snapping the ball with 15 seconds on the play clock. Like, they'll run it down, but they don't let the other team sub. They have the versatility to do that and still be really effective from a lot of different things. And that has helped Jaden obviously be in positions to succeed. And Cliff has called great games. Jaden's executed at a high level. They both deserve equal amounts of credit. But they're not the only ones, which brings us to
number two.
And that is another group that has been playing really well, the offensive line. And it's not a five-man group. It's a six-man group, legitimately, as Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman have been rotating at left tackle. Why has that worked so well?
Both are playing at a high level. I've been really impressed with both their attitudes and how they've handled that. It's not always easy rotating. You know, you want to be out there and you want to get in your rhythm, but both guys have really embraced it and made each other better. And with Brandon missing some significant time in the preseason, I think it allowed him to grow and will continue to allow him to grow. But I think more than anything, just both guys playing at a high level has allowed us to continue that.
And they have been able to find their rhythms while also maybe knocking off the pass rushers that line up against them out of their rhythms, because you're facing a different guy. It's harder to set up that move later when you're not getting all the snaps against the same guy. Typically, this doesn't work, but it has worked really well for Washington so far. I do think they probably eventually want to get to the point where Coleman is their guy, not just in the future, but this season. But for right now, it's working. Don't mess with it. And just keep on rolling, especially when the chemistry is as good as it has been. Something that Cliff has really appreciated about this O-line and how they work together.
Yeah, I think just like I said before, just the way they kind of can figure things out on the run together, the communication they have and their ability to, even if we just walk something through and maybe don't get a live rep at it, they're able to go into the game. And if there's an adjustment to be made, they can make it in real time and hit it and nail it. And that's been really impressive. So I know it wasn't a really hyped group coming into the season, but the way they've just worked and continue to work and continue to kind of support each other has been really, really cool to see.
And that starts off the field. Some of you may know this already. Some of you may not. Like, they get together every Thursday. And I'll give credit to, like, John Keim is where I heard this. But I'm sure others on the beat have reported it as well. But they get together every Thursday night. And they bond. And whether it is a nice steak dinner or whether it is they're going to go clean out a Five Guys. Can you imagine, Anthony? Just, like, you're working the counter at Five Guys. And here comes the Commanders' offensive line. And, like, before they get to the table, I would just turn around and be like, everyone start cooking. Cook what? Yes. More fries. Down. Burgers. Get the extra thing of cheese from the back. It's a lot of food.
And they also might need a sack of peanuts as well.
Yeah. Peanuts. Yeah, that's true. That is correct. Get it all. Apparently, I can't remember who it was. One of them, though, like, doesn't do, like, fries and milkshakes, just, like, more burgers. Like, two doubles and a single. I don't need to fill up on fries. Give me more meat.
That
sounds like Allegretti. He's a Chicago guy.
That's a lot of food, man. That's a lot of just
big fellas.
Yeah.
What's your Five Guys order?
Oh, I'm getting a double patty, some bacon, mayonnaise, ketchup, maybe lettuce, depends on, like, how I'm feeling the day. But yeah.
Lettuce depending on how I'm feeling today.
It's because sometimes when you ask for lettuce, you know what they do? They just throw it all on there. I don't want my sandwich to be that messy. I'm a clean eater when I eat. You know, I don't
so really never like, never tomato.
I'll get a tomato at a different burger spot.
Okay.
But I wouldn't get it at Five Guys because the burger's already big. So if I add a tomato, now it's going to be even bigger. I don't need that.
Okay.
I like to be clean, right. You know?
There's a methodology. I don't fully understand it, but there's a methodology. And hey, it's your food. It's your order.
Have you seen the Burger King commercial where the guy has little hands?
Yeah.
I don't want that to be me. Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
Fair enough. All right.
Number three.
Off we go. Back to you, Cliff. Kingsbury also talked about the running game today. And if opposing defenses are starting to respect the offense's abilities on the ground, because obviously they've been so prolific through the air, but, you know, this running game's been pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's never really been what we've been trying to be about. It's more just maximize that week, what we can do offensively to score the most points. And so if we got to run it every play, we will. If we got to throw it, we'll throw it. But our guys have done a nice job. It helps when Jaden's adding, you know, those type of yards of his own. But that Baltimore rushing attack is vaunted right now, you know, when I watch their offense every week and what they're doing. So we'd have a long way to go to kind of reach that level.
They're doing a lot of similar stuff, though, stylistically. Of course, like, Brian Robinson's great. Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer. You know, Jaden has been tremendous. Lamar is the best rushing quarterback in the league. He might be the only guy that's better than Jaden, but, like, Lamar's Lamar. Two-time MVP. Show some respect for what he's been able to do in this league. And so, yeah, their rushing attack's crazy good. But I do think what you've seen in watching defenses and how they've attacked Washington every week, you do see them starting to adjust to the Commanders' running game a little bit and some of the opportunities and the binds that you get put in. Of course, that is probably a good thing for Joe Witt Jr. and his side of the ball because they have to practice against that every week. They've thought a lot about it. Now you're going to see what they can do against Lamar. The back half of our pick six, where you hear from Joe Witt next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports. On the day, by the way, the WNBA Finals begin. We'll talk about that at 6:30. This look presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. All right, let us get to what Joe Witt Jr. had to say as part of the pick six. Of course, six biggest storylines of the day, and we, you know, go through them every day. And on Thursdays, the coordinators talk. And so off we go with Joe Witt Jr. and what he had to say about his defense.
Number four.
Number four in our pick six, which comes from Joe Witt Jr., is about the cornerback position. That is one that has been a cause of much talk this season. It is one that, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, what are they going to do? You know, at corner, is Emmanuel Forbes going to come back and play? Is it this? Is that? Then all of a sudden last week, there was no rotation. There was no, like, working guys back. It was Mike Sanders still on the outside. Noah Igbinoghene on the inside. Benjamin St. Juice on the other. So what have they seen from Mike Sanders still to say, like, hey, you've grown enough to be a number, I guess not number one, number two outside corner?
Mikey, you know, we've moved him inside and out. Last two games, he's played outside. And we put him to the field the last two games, and he's getting more comfortable there. He can play with vision. He played a lot more physical. He's covering well. So right now that's where we need him to be, and so he's going to find a home back inside at some point. But from where the defense is right now, we need him to the field.
So there you go. It's you know, switching sides depending on which side there's more space to cover. That means he often has help on the inside, like with the nickel player, depending on the formation, obviously. But there's always going to be certain support to the field that they rely upon. Big picture, he did hint that, hey, we want to eventually get him back inside. But why outside? And did you think that this was a possibility back in training camp?
Oh, yeah, we knew he can play both inside and outside. You know, ideally, you know, we started him playing at the star position, but you know, we play guys, like I told you, each week we change up for what we need to do to win that particular game, and so that's what we've been doing.
And I do think that that's an important point, right? Like, there is a chance that we see Emmanuel Forbes, for instance, again in a different matchup later on this season. Well, also, like, things happen, but on Forbes, like, why was there no rotation last week? This was a guy that was the starter, got injured. What's going on here?
Well, that's same as the Mikey question, playing to the field. We're each week going to play the guys in position that we feel best, that gives us a chance to win that particular game. And so, you know, that's how I can answer all those questions of the number of reps that anybody's playing at any position. That's what we felt that was best for that week.
And they go in with the plan, and that plan doesn't work. I think they move things around. And I say that because Dan Quinn, when I asked him post-game about the corner rotation last week at Northwest Stadium, almost said the old name, but that's not who pays for it anymore, at Northwest Stadium, DQ said, no, it was working, so like, why would we change it? So I think that they probably divide up the reps on some level with anticipation, but also depending on what they think based off the matchup. Now, playing Mikey outside has also opened up the spot inside for Noah Igbinoghene, who has played very, very well and was with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt in Dallas last season. What has been the growth for Noah that has made him one of the best options that they've got?
You know, we got him late last year when we were in Dallas, and you know, with the trade, when we traded Fat for him, and we had, you know, a number of guys that were just ahead of him, and with him coming in there late, he came in here at the same time with everybody else, and he was able to put his performance out there, and he's earned the right to go out there and get the reps in the starting position that he's getting. So he just, when in Dallas, he came late, and he was behind the eight ball a little bit.
I mean, he was really, really good in training camp. Not like amazing, not, hey, he has to play, but he definitely showed an ability in training camp. You're like, I think they could probably rely on that guy. And outside, and you know, when he was called upon early, not as much, but all of a sudden you put him inside and he shows a physicality and a competitiveness that really is beneficial. So I'm excited to see what he can do for the rest of the season if they need him, or, you know, maybe Emmanuel Forbes reemerges outside and you get the, you know, Mikey back inside, and that can be the group that you rock with. But they're definitely going to be open-minded about it. And so it's going to be something that we continue to track.
Number five.
This weekend, of course, Joe's unit, they got to track Derrick Henry. And that is particularly tough, and especially hard when you are worried about Derrick Henry to one side of the run, and like, what happens if they fake it to him and Lamar Jackson starts running the other way? Very, very difficult run game to defend. Joe Witt Jr. on doing that very difficult task.
Well, it starts with, you know, Todd Monken. I was with him in Cleveland in 2019. Extremely smart guy. They have a mobile quarterback that can beat you with his arm and his legs. They have a big running back downhill that's faster than you think. And then they have a smaller running back that runs with more power than you think. So, they, you know, 43 and 22, both of them are really good players. The offensive line's big, but they can get on people. And so they're just they're good, and they know what they're doing. They know how to scheme it up. They do a nice job.
They certainly do. They have every run in the book in. They can run power. They can run inside zone. They can run outside zone. They can run gap scheme. They can run pin pull. They can run zone read. They'll run reverses and end arounds and all that kind of stuff with their receivers like Zay Flowers. They'll do it with Justice Hill coming around on a jet sweep. Like, there is a lot of different stuff that they do in their running game. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how Joe Witt Jr. dedicates his resources. And I'm also curious because, you know, Joe mentioned the uniqueness of Derrick Henry there. And Logan said something this morning that I thought was interesting, is that, like, despite his size, he plays like a speed back. Like, he's big enough that he will stiff arm you through the earth. He is hard to tackle because he is just so large. But he's not like a Marshawn Lynch power style runner. He runs like a fast guy, and he is a fast guy, which makes stopping him very, very difficult.
You're not necessarily approaching him when you're approaching the offense. Okay, you got to be in your gap. You have to be able to defeat blocks, send them where you want them to send them, and in that standpoint, from a tackling standpoint, you know, you talk about, and this every week, it's not just with Derek. You have a tackling plan for every back that you have, and you try to stick to the plan. And so we have our tackling plan for him, just like we had it last week, and that doesn't change.
It's what that tackling plan is, and executing that becomes a lot harder against a back like Derrick Henry. You know, corralling him is hard because he's fast, like legitimately fast, one of the fastest ball carriers in the NFL every single year. You know, when the list comes out, he breaks, you know, an 80-yard run seemingly every single year. He's already gotten a couple that are nearly that long this year or longer. He's a unique guy. And you talk about corralling and getting to the football, like trying to tackle him with one is a nightmare. You got to send him where you want to send him. That way you got multiple bodies there waiting on him, because that is about the only way to bring that dude down.
Number six.
Now, of course, the Commanders are in the spotlight, and a lot of that is about Jaden and the offense. So is that something that Joe Witt Jr. enjoys? Like, hey, we're just going to chill here in the background and work on our craft? Or does he feel like his unit perhaps needs a little bit more attention, deserves a little bit more attention?
Oh, I'm not necessarily looking for any type of attention. I'm looking for better play. You know, Jaden, he's getting all the attention that he's getting because he's played outstanding, and that's what comes with it. And so the only thing I care about is winning football games, and I'm glad he's our quarterback. And so we're trending the right way the last couple of weeks, and it's gonna keep going that way for the defense. We're gonna start making a little bit more splash getting this ball. The physicality is definitely there. But I don't care about being in darkness or light. I just care about winning. That's the only thing I really care about.
Was there any doubt that that's what Joe Witt was going to say? Like, Anthony, if I had told you, hey, we're going to play this, here's the title of the, or here's the question. What's Joe Witt's answer? Was there any fiber of your being that thought it would be anything other than, nah, we're good, just keep winning?
No.
Here's the difference, though. Do you believe it? Do you actually believe him?
I think as a competitor, deep down, he does want the team, or the defense, I guess, because they still haven't had an interception through five games.
Right. No, there's things that he wants, but I think he wants the play. Like, I think what he said is true. I don't always think that coaches are like that. Like, this is what makes the staff special, and like Dan special, and Cliff special, and Joe, and like Anthony Lynn is just floating in the background. Guy's a former NFL head coach, and he's not getting nearly the credit that like Cliff is, because Cliff's the OC. Like, that's how it works. If Lynn gets elevated to the OC and they do the same stuff next year, like, it'll be the same deal. I would guess, by the way, Tavita Pritchard, if they went internally, would get it. But that's a different story. The point is, like, there's so many guys that contribute. There's quality control coaches whose names people have never heard of that are doing really important stuff. As long as you win, it don't matter. And as long as your unit's playing well, like, that's the thing for a coordinator. Like, if they're winning in spite of Joe Witt's defense, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm happy we're winning, but like, this sucks. I gotta get better. And that's where he was the first couple of weeks of this winning streak. So I actually believe it with him that he is just about playing better ball and winning, as opposed to some people that are like, they want to do that for the attention, not for the winning.
Mm-hmm.
So salute to you, Joe Witt Jr. You tell no lies. at least ones that we've been able to parse out yet. All right, Sop and Chope, we're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, actually, there's one of two things that we're going to do. And I need to talk to Anthony about which one we do. So stay tuned to figure out what we decide next.